Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back.
That's right, that's right.
It's gonna be us. We can drink and talk shit as much as we want. Nobody can say anything to us.
D.L. Hughley, uncut.
Hey, now, welcome to D.L. Hughley, uncut. I am, of course, the D.L. Hughley.
I'm Jasmine Sanders.
And I'm Jeff. Brown.
It takes him a long time to even say his goddamn.
Because he's got
to
think about it. He's got to connect those dots.
Yeah, it's that big.
It's very interesting to me that the more things change, the more that they stay the same. Fresh off of celebrating George Floyd and the verdict there, we're again greeted with the news that deputies in Andrew Brown Jr. shooter in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, were justified. I'll say this: it's interesting to me how many times we've heard that phrase or similar ones. And even with George Floyd, initially the prosecutor said there was nothing to see there. With Ahmaud Arbery, 3 prosecutors said there's nothing to see there. And oftentimes it's because the public hasn't seen the video.
Right.
Sure.
When the public see, as a matter of fact, in Ahmaud Arbery, it was his lawyer, the defense lawyer, those 3 men, who said, we'll just show the video of them killing niggas and nobody will be upset.
It'll exonerate us. We'll be fine.
Wow.
So it's interesting how they want us to take their word in an arena that that a video recorder's only present because we don't trust you.
Correct.
So I think, and then judges get involved and who can see what. So they let the family see 18 minutes of the video, but they're 2 hours.
I was going to say, but it was 2 hours long. And even at that, initially, they didn't want the family to see anything.
Exactly. So sure. I've never known police officers to not want to show you when they have evidence that exonerates them. There's no reticence there at all to show. If I see one more police officer giving playing basketball in the hood or giving Christmas presents away, how about peeling one of your fucking friends off somebody getting ass with?
How about it? I don't give a damn how well you pop lock. How well do you stop your partner from popping? How about that?
And it's just, and Ricky Schroeder, he's a dickhead.
Oh, my God.
They should have shoved one of them silver spoons of his ass. Fucking asshole.
But, you know, I will say this shortly after that. I don't know the timing of it, but Costco did make the announcement that, you know, of course, depending on the state rules, you would not have to wear a mask in their facility.
Right. So Ricky Schroeder, you can't get meth from Costco. I'm sure you can't get methamphetamines from Costco. You got to go.
But don't be mean to the worker. He was doing his job.
I don't know how he ended up. Like, any white dude with bangs and their kid, I don't trust him when they get older.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
He didn't even look like himself when I saw the
video.
Who is that guy? Rough times.
And what's happening in Gaza, I'll just say this. The Israeli-Palestinian, it's not a conflict because when, you know, hundreds of people are dead, generally it's like 12 Israelis and a couple of hundred Palestinians. I hate that our foreign policy is guided by evangelicals here because they believe that Jews have to be in the Holy Land or Jesus won't come back. And everything is based on their notion of that idea. And I'll just say this. I think it's crazy to sit idly by and let these things happen when we're supposed to be basically the referee of the world, and we kind of go, well,
sure,
because let we have some religious zealots that we let them kind of decide what foreign policy is.
Right. We just stand by and watch this Great Pumpkin Massacre.
Right. And it's and I don't understand what you call it when people are dying in disproportionate numbers. I don't know what else to call it, but I will say this. It is to our great lament that we are sitting there pretending like we want a two-state solution, but we're not being involved at all. Like, we just kind of go, oh, why don't y'all play nice? Ultimately is this. If we want a two-state solution, we have to recognize that members of both of those states are human beings.
Mm. Absolutely. We've got involved with a lot of other places for less.
Right. So, I mean, and then this is the thing. We blow up buildings and making rocks and give them more rocks to throw at people. This thing could be over if y'all stop making rocks.
Welcome back to DL Uncut. Our next guest is an award-winning actor, best-selling author, philanthropist, and the creator of the cryptocurrency, the Black Wall Street. Please welcome Hill Harper.
What's up, Big Daddy?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I wore a hat because I thought you were going to be wearing a hat.
No, I'm tired of people thinking I'm bald. I'm like, hell no. I still got it. Last time I saw him, I think the last time I hung out with you, he was whipping my ass in golf at Calabasas. So
oh, wow. You whipped him like that?
Yeah, he did. He did, actually.
No. I mean, between him and Anthony Anderson and Sam Jackson, you can't even get a tee time.
Yeah. That's
true to that.
That is absolutely true.
We're trying to solve the racial wealth gap on our platform, and these guys spend so much money on green fees.
Well, there's the show. Thank you so much, Hill Harper. You have a degree from Harvard, from Brown. You have like 9 degrees, some honorary 9 degrees. You are a award-winning actor, a best-selling author. Mm-hmm. So fuck it. Why don't you just do the interview and we'll check back in about 15 minutes. You do it.
So, you know, what's crazy is I was sitting at Howard's graduation one night and, you know, got an honorary doctorate from Howard. And I was sitting next to Vernon Jordan.
Oh, wow.
Our great black leaders.
Right.
God rest
him. He just passed, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mr. Jordan, it's just such an honor to meet you. And I said, you know, you're getting an honorary doctorate. I'm getting an honorary doctorate, you know. And I said, I just hate to ask you, how many honorary doctorate degrees do you have? Because I know you got a gang of them. And he said, Hill, I'm embarrassed to say I got 89 honorary doctorates.
Wow. Like,
how many do you have? I said, this is my seventh. I felt pretty good about it until I heard you got 89. So now
I got one.
Well, I was going to say, ask DL how many he has.
I have one.
How many do you have?
One. One from Columbia School of Broadcasting. Columbia School of Broadcasting.
Oh, not Columbia University.
Yeah. No, that's not a joke. That's for real.
I just say Columbia. I shortened it up, but, you know, it's still on Sunset Boulevard. I know that. I hear the phrase financial literacy all of the time, and I'm always, because I never quite understand, is it just learning how to spend money, is it learning how to invest money, is it learning how to make money? What would your estimation of financial literacy be?
So financial literacy is the beginning of the journey in my mind. You know, I wrote this book right here 10 years ago, mm-hmm. The Wealth Cure. The idea was, how do we cure the wealth gap? You know, and what do we do? And so it starts with financial literacy, because you got to learn first. You got to get educated first.
Sure.
And then it moves to, in my mind, the journey is you move to financial capacity. And we want to build financial capacity among people, family, communities, et cetera.
Right.
And then you get to financial empowerment.
Right.
So financial literacy is just the beginning of learning.
Right.
What do you do with your money? Most of us have never been taught money, right?
Right.
In school, they teach you math, K-12, but they don't teach you money.
Right.
And I would argue that, you know, my son's 5 years old. His ability to understand his relationship to money is going to impact him more than his ability to do long division.
Right.
And I wish they taught more money than math, but that's where we come in. We got to teach money. We got to teach financial literacy first and then grow from there.
I think that the educational paradigm shifted. And I think the practicality of the American education shifted, and the educational system has not. The three R's are not as applicable as they once were. And I think that there's so many things that are more nuanced than that. You, I think that one of the things that is interesting, we talked about, you have a lot of degrees and you've gone to a lot of college and you're erudite dude. So one of the keys to some semblance of financial literacy has to be education, right?
No doubt. It starts with education, but at the end of the day, education unapplied means nothing.
Right.
Right. That's why you've got all these cats with Ivy League degrees, but they're not actually doing anything for people in the community. So what difference does it make?
Right.
If you're not able to actually create change and actually impact people's lives, what's the use of a Harvard degree?
Right.
In my opinion, we have to deal with the wealth gap right now in our country. And if we're not dealing with it, then to your point, DL, financial literacy doesn't matter.
Because we missed the manufacturing age, we missed the industrial age, and now we are missing out on the technological age too. So
digital age, exactly.
we've missed all of those. And I think that to your point, we're going to be having this conversation 30, 40 years later if we don't find a way to kind of, be a part of, because if you want to be wealthy right now, that's Standard and Poor's. There are things that we need to do. But I think one of the things, I was talking to one of my frat brothers, and the funniest thing is the aptitude at what people attract. If you're an athlete, you show any level of athletic prowess and you're a black person, you can go to the finest prep schools in the country. If you have shown any level of, but show academic aptitude, it's harder to come by. Like, we're allotted for our physical prowess, never for our academic prowess. And one of the things we do have to do is learn how to learn.
Absolutely. But to me, I go back to any of these social justices. You can't have social justice without economic justice.
Right.
And so all the things that we talk about, DL, whether you want to talk about education gaps.
Right.
Whether you want to talk about health gaps that was exposed by COVID, whether you want to talk about incarceration rate, police brutality, any of those things, there's one thing that links all of these communities, marginalized black, brown communities together in all these issues, and that's poverty.
Right.
Yeah. That's the fact that there's little financial foundation in any of these communities. And I truly believe if we start to solve that problem, that's why I put so much into this app and this digital wallet, is because if we can solve the financial foundation problem, we can then start to solve these other problems.
Right. They kind of will start to sort themselves out to some degree.
But I also think that once you create that, I think it also, you talked about education, but you also mentioned the fact that your son, your 5-year-old son, how much he knows. And I think a big part of it is unlearning the bad relationship that we have with money and what we teach our children. I think that's a big thing. I know I grew up in a house where my mama spent every penny that came in on clothes that she never wore. You know what I mean? And she died that way. And my dad fed into that, which fed into us. And so as I got older, I had to unlearn those bad habits because I didn't want to end up in the same situation. And I wonder, how long do you think it will take us to teach our children and the generations after us to not have that bad behavior and that relationship with money?
To be honest, I don't think long. And the reason why is because tech offers us the opportunity to shift our relationship to it. And that's why when we're in this midst of a transformation with regard to money, we're moving from fiat or hard money currency to digital currency.
Right.
That move is where we have this window of opportunity to completely change our relationship to money. We as black folks have always been taught to work for money, but we've never been taught to how money can work for us.
Right.
And we can start to make money work for us in this digital revolution, moving from digital currency. That's why that's why educating people about cryptocurrency, what I'm doing, and about digital currency is so critical, because we as a community, we get it. We've had such a cash mentality,
right?
But we get it when we start talking about crypto and digital.
Right.
And that's why it's an opportunity.
Right. You know, it's funny. I knew Crips and currency. I just didn't know them together. I knew a lot of Crips, man. Yeah, but it all gets back to what Jasmine was talking about. We were raised to survive, never to live.
Right.
The paradigm is shifting now. Life is more. Our children have the potential to have a more abundant life, but it does need to be rooted in in financial literacy. We have to understand what this means and how to move it. And I don't know much about cryptocurrency. I know that a dude tried to pay child support with Bitcoin and shit. Like, nah, nigga, give me the money.
Don't take
so,
that.
So what is it? Right. What is it? How does it work? And how is it that we can avail ourselves to it? What is it? Because you talked about how we understand it, but how can we make that start to be part of the literacy that you say that we need to avail ourselves to?
Great question. So this is what's critical. Folks have to understand cryptocurrency is just one piece of the larger digital currency ecosystem we're walking into.
Right.
And when I say digital currency, just so people understand what I'm talking about your Apple Pay.
Right.
I'm talking about your Venmo. I'm talking about your PayPal. I'm talking about your Cash App.
Right.
Talking about the idea that folks, and the best way I try to make people see it is that folks stop. Folks still wear watches, but they don't use their watches to tell time anymore. They use this device to tell time, right? So watches have become an accessory.
Right.
The same way watches have become an accessory, your purse, that Gucci purse, that Prada purse, whatever, you're not going to use that to carry anything in it that you use to transfer for goods and services.
Right, right.
That's going to be held in your phone as well, in your digital wallet.
Right.
It'll be held, you either hold digital dollars in there, and you'll pay for things that way, or you'll hold cryptocurrency in there, right? Your wallet has the ability to hold both, just like your current hard wallet has the ability to hold credit cards and money, and they both can be used for goods and services. Your digital wallet will hold both fiat, which is
physical
USD dollar, and it's going to hold crypto assets like a Bitcoin or an Ethereum or what have you. And so what cryptocurrencies, there's over 9,200 cryptos out there. The vast majority of them are ripoffs, right? Leave them alone.
Right.
Leave them alone.
Right.
The standard is Bitcoin. And the reason why I am so excited about Bitcoin is because Bitcoin has the opportunity to level the playing field. Never before has a money instrument been equal or fair to the Black community. What do I mean by that? I mean, the reason why Black folks have had trouble building wealth, even though we have $1.2 trillion of spending power, is because the institutional racism and systemic racism has always stacked the deck against us in capital markets.
But I also think it's great that, you know, you're spreading the word about this, because also digital, you have to also look at the fact online on social media, everyone's talking about this digital currency, and a lot of people don't know what they're talking about. And then you become to get nervous because you don't know what's a scam and what's not. Then Elon Musk says something crazy and you're like, okay, wait, now all of a sudden it's lost, you know, I guess its value, and you don't really know what to trust. So how can you figure out, like,
if 9,000 of them are scams, then that means that you have to be very judicious.
Exactly.
And I don't know how you figure out what it is.
And so the best way I explain to people is this. You look at the standard, just like gold. Gold standard in this country up until 1971. The dollar was backed by gold. That's why we had Fort Knox.
Right.
President Nixon ended the gold standard, and now they just can print money.
It's
not backed by anything, right? And so Bitcoin is the gold standard in crypto. Why? Because there's a finite amount. There'll only be 21 million total Bitcoin ever mined, right? There's over, I believe there's 48 million millionaires in the world. So there's not even enough Bitcoin for every single millionaire in the world to own one,
right,
as an example.
Right.
And so therefore, the scarcity of that asset is going to drive its value up over time. And so what I tell people is, you're not buying Bitcoin, you're selling dollars. In other words, the value of your dollar, every time you go to sleep at night, if you're holding cash, it by the time you wake up in the morning, it's worth less. Its purchasing power decreases on a daily basis.
Right. Like buying a car. Mm-hmm. Right.
Like buying a car, buying those Nikes you like to buy.
Right, right.
And so exactly, buying shoes, sneakers, cars, and those appreciating assets. The dollar is a depreciating asset. That's why people who have true wealth put their money into appreciating asset classes.
Right.
Bitcoin is one of those. Now, there will be short-term volatility. And this is why the education piece is critical. Because when people go on the Black Wall Street and they start investing in Bitcoin, if they're not educated and they see the price drop 10% like it did 2 days ago, they'll be like, Bill Harper told me I was in an ascendant value asset.
I knew
class.
That nigga.
Yeah.
Had a letter to a young brother. How come he didn't put that in there?
They need to understand that it's a long-term time horizon investment. I'm talking a year, 2 years, 4 years. And I promise my people, I promise UDL, I promise everybody, if you put your money dollar cost average into Bitcoin on my platform, you will, over the next set of years, be in a significantly better place than if you held it in cash or any other so-called investment.
Oh,
I promise.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
All right.
So wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me hear it again.
Let me see.
Hang on now.
I heard you. I didn't hear Jasmine. I'm scared.
I'm not an investment professional, and I'm not offering professional investment advice.
Right.
I'm giving you what I do.
Right.
I dollar cost average into Bitcoin on a daily basis. I figure out what can I afford every day, and I put it in there. That's why they call it dollar cost averaging.
Right.
I'm not trying to time the market. Time in the market is more valuable than timing the market.
Right, right. When you talk about Black Wall Street, like your name, even your namesake is named after a time when we achieved a level of financial success and independence. And that the system found a way to decimate it. That's just, I mean, that's what you're going to go from 30 cities, you're going to go from, in fact, from Los Angeles to Greenwood to Oklahoma. What happened there was people, in essence, in that day, did what you're talking about now. They invested themselves. They built. But then you had a system that decided that they weren't, that it wasn't, that we're going to take it from you. And they've done it all over. How do we ensure that phenomenon doesn't happen again?
Well, it's not going to happen again, because that's the beautiful thing about an asset like Bitcoin. It's decentralized, and so it's not controlled by any group or bank or institution. Since it's decentralized, that means you can be self-sovereign. It means you can hold it yourself. So for instance, on my platform, Black Wall Street, you go in and buy the Bitcoin on my platform, you get up to a certain amount, I encourage people to take it off and what you call self-custody. You can become your own bank. And that's the power of this technology. That's what's so powerful about it. That's why it's leveling the playing field. You're not going to have to go through Bank of America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to make sure that you get access to something that you can use to exchange for goods and services. You can literally be your own bank and self-sovereignty and decentralization.
So you're literally buying your own freedom. You're literally buying your own independence. You're literally saying to yourself,
your own independence. Wow. And your own wealth.
Wow.
Your own sovereignty.
Wow.
And your ability to exchange with each other without going through an intermediary.
Because
the intermediary is the one that take the money, right?
Like a church. Churches are intermediary. Like
you bring up churches. Stop it.
But for real talk, I'm trying to get the black church into Bitcoin because they won't have to pass the plate if they invest in Bitcoin over time.
No, they still do it. Don't worry about that.
You just blew it.
It'll be a digital plate, but it'll still be one. I'm always, you know, every time I've ever talked to you, there is a way that you see things. Like I remember talking to somebody and they said in order for Alexander Graham Bell to invent the phone, he had to want to talk to people that weren't even there. And you oftentimes have this quality where you're talking about things that are really kind of out of reach. Like we don't really see them. You know, we know they're coming, but we don't. How is it that you kind of that in tune? Because I'm a fairly bright guy. I just don't know how it is you stay one step ahead of things like that.
I mean, I don't know about that, but I do know that I just try to solve problems, man. I mean, that's why we're here. And to me, if there's a problem that's glaring me in the face, like the condition of black folks in where we're at, whether it's COVID and health disparities or whether it's education disparities and poverty, I need to solve it. That's why we're here. And my goal has always been, how can I have the most positive impact and have the most legacy, which means sustained change? And I believe if you can marry impact and legacy together, you've lived a life that's worth it. And technology, for the first time, offers us this opportunity to have scaled impact and not go through all these other folks. Because DL, for instance, once this platform is built and the ecosystem is there, I can go to you and say, listen, you don't have to do a show or a comedy show with anybody else. We're going to put up your show directly to the ecosystem of the Black Wall Street. They're going to pay in with their crypto to actually see your show, and they'll pay directly into your wallet on the Black Wall Street. We distribute it on the platform. And it takes Disney, Universal, all the different distributing agencies that are taking pieces of it. We can be decentralized and be our own power to distribute content, to pay for goods and services, and that's where we build real community wealth.
It seems
wow.
It's a very simplistic, bright way of looking at things, but if you look at a way that things are done, this threatens to destabilize that. This is the game changer for a lot of people. And what has tended to happen is nobody does anything overtly. It's more like Trojan horses. So it's more like people finding a way to infiltrate a system like that and then corrupting it a little bit. So there is that danger. That is, you know, there is, they're not going to just let that much money walk off and not make a concerted effort to kind of to take it back. So
it's amazing. You must have been sitting in our meeting the other day, because there is, you're absolutely right. There is no question. We talked about this, that there will be, there will be groups of people hiring hackers out of Russia or India to try to hack.
You don't even have to hire. You can, a lot of black people do it, too. It's a lot. No, I'm saying it could be a Trojan. It's not really. It's not going to have to be the biggest. There are people. Their goal is never to watch something change the system. Like we shouldn't be energy. We shouldn't be our energy shouldn't rely on such antiquated things. But they do, because rich people and very powerful people want to keep it so. And I imagine all those entities coming together in a situation like this and doing what they can to corrupt it. So there needs to be a system in place where we understand A, the value, but B, to protect this resource, because they're not going to just. We're a nation of pure consumers. You could literally say, "Nigga, fly my plane," and if you, and that could be insulting to you. But if you want to fly, you're gonna have to get on that plane. And so they are not going to let something like that walk away. So what things are in place to protect something that we know is fledgling and it's kind of going to be fits and starts? What are you doing to mitigate that?
Well, number one, to your point, we have to support each other, but also we have to provide value. One of the biggest arguments I've been having with a lot of the investment community, because there's a lot of VCs that call and say, "Hey, we want to invest. You know, what's your value prop? You're gonna charge people a membership? You're gonna charge people this?" I'm like, "No, this is all. We're gonna give up all the value away for free." And they say, "Well, how can you do that?" And I said, "Well, we're gonna have to eat early on. We're gonna have to eat it. You know, we're gonna have to take losses." Because I don't want to make the money off the backs of the people. That's the thing. It's like, I want to provide value to the people. And that's the difference here, is that the filter, the decision-making matrix, I believe people will rally around something that's good if they understand that there's no side hustle here. Nice. This is very transparent. This is like, I've spent my own money to build this platform, to own the tech, to own the IP. This isn't white labeled. I didn't go to some company and say, "Hey, I want to license your technology, but you really own the technology." This is a black owned, developed technology platform that we will own. And then I'm going to open it up to an investment community. I'm going to allow people from the community to be investors. I don't have to go to Silicon Valley to get VC money. I can actually do what they call a Reg CF. And go to the people and say, "Hey, if you want to put in $250, $300, $500, you can put it, and you can be an owner of this platform as well." This isn't for Hill Harper. This isn't Hill Harper. This is for us. And I believe if you build it that way, people will ultimately support it. Sure, there'll be haters and people want to tear it down. But I believe in my people. I believe in the community.
I believe they've never had an opportunity like that. I believe that I can't think of a time where a system offer the same thing that we're talking about, not a guarantee, but a spirit of fairness. The most racist thing you can say in America is fair, because fair means if you say fair, that means that somebody's taking something from me that you're taking my advantage from me, that I'm this built in that I'm supposed to. I don't care what you do in America. There's a service charge. There is a fee. There's always. It's so expensive to be poor that nobody can afford to do it. But also with that, they tap into a level of desperation that will give them access to being able to damage something. And so I'm going to invest in what you're talking about, because I believe that in the end, people would rather do something that lifts all of their situations up and stop it having hat in hand. But also they have to be aware that we buy savings bonds all the time. We put stuff away all the time. We buy insurance. We was growing up, your mother paid that insurance, man, all the time. And these were the way that we thought we were investing. A.L. Williams, we did that like it was going crazy. But this seems to be the most real, unvarnished way of investing and doing all the things we talk about. And lifting our own selves up and investing with one another and doing things from a communal standpoint. Because now we don't have to even be in the same proximity to help each other out. So I agree with you. I do caution us to be careful of people who will kind of do this thing where they're going to try to be very insidious and say, you know, just like they have bots doing all kinds of things. I think people who have nefarious purposes are going to find a way into this thing. And there's
no. And it's going to be, hey, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And there'll be people, there'll be haters, you know, and we're going to iterate over time. Obviously, we're going to add a lot of different things. One of the, you just remind me, one of the greatest stories I have out of the Black Wall Street that I love, and this is about a mindset shift to the earlier point about us shifting our minds. When O.W. Gurley founded the 35 blocks that became the Greenwood District of Black Wall Street, he had money. He was a black man with money. But instead of saying, I'm going to have Gurley Grocery, Gurley Apartments, where y'all going to rent for me, Gurley Cinemas and Gurley this and Gurley Hotels, he said, I believe I will even do better if I can create owners. So I'm going to build these houses but sell them and give people loans to own. So ultimately, there were 1,200 homes and businesses owned in the Black Wall Street. And one of the greatest stories is one of the most successful theaters was right there on Greenwood Avenue. The brother who owned the theater gave a loan to another brother to open up a theater right across the street. Why? Because he felt that the more people that came to Greenwood to see theater in general would elevate everybody. Somehow, we as black folks have been convinced that we are competing with each other, which is just not the case. The way we all win is to support each other's businesses and to uplift each other. And then we all will actually do better than trying to be the only one in the room.
Yep.
And that has been proven. I mean, even look at that comedy show you all did, that, you know, y'all made millions and millions and kajillions of dollars. It was the four of you guys getting together doing it. And not wasn't just like, he's my competition. I'm going to do my own show.
Right.
I'm going to do my own show. No. We win when we do stuff together and support each other.
Man, I think that's
it. That's why he's got 9 honorary degrees. I'm just saying.
That's it. So it starts when, Ill? It starts when?
So I'm launching the actual go live of the app. And this is what I'm so excited about. I will be in Tulsa on Greenwood Avenue at the exact time that 100 years before that riot and massacre started.
Wow.
And that was sundown on May 31st. So it gives me chills talking about it.
Right.
So it's 7
p.m. Well, if you see niggas with sheets, leave and they do it from somewhere else.
Say, wait a minute. Make sure they're having a sell on Tiki Torches, Playboy.
It's digital.
Oh, yeah. It's the whole thing.
It's the Black Wall Street. Thank you so much, Joe Harper. Appreciate
thank you, man.
So much.
Thank you. I'm very serious about that. Thank you, man. I'm definitely going to invest. Thank you, man. Thank you.